Thank you for downloading this podcast. We trust you will be blessed by the following message from High Praise.
Praise Lord. If you go ahead and turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 126. We're going to be continuing this morning our Word of the Lord for 2017. It's something that I do every year at the very beginning of the year. We share what we believe the Lord is saying specifically for the year 2017. Now, I want everybody to understand that we have a even more sure word of prophecy, and that is the Bible. How many know every promise in the Bible, that belongs to you? Every promise that God's Word articulates, every promise that is borne out within the Word of God, that is your promise, that is God's Word to you. However, I want everybody to understand that God does different things in different seasons. It doesn't mean that he stops doing one thing. It just means that he emphasizes and focuses on certain things in certain seasons. And you can see that as you even begin to study church history, there were certain times that God would focus on one particular message and bring it to the forefront so that the body of Christ could be grounded and founded within that message. And we see that in the early church. We see God doing different things at different times. And again, as I already alluded to, church history back in Martin Luther, back around 1600 or 1500, excuse me, he got a revelation that the just shall live by faith. And that was a message that began to be heralded, and God anointed that message. And people began to realize they didn't have to go to a priest. They didn't have to go through indulgences and all the other things that were required of people at that time as far as the predominant teaching of the day. And so people learned that there was one mediator between God and man, and that was Christ Jesus, hallelujah. And they learned how that they were saved by grace through faith, and that you could actually believe upon the Lord and actually know that you would be saved, and that if you died, you would go to be with Jesus. Well, before 1500, that was not a doctrine or a teaching or anything that was prominent within what would be referred to as the church before 1500 AD. God anointed that message, it began to be heralded, and it infiltrated the entire body of Christ. Then, around 1700, a man by the name of John Wesley came along and began to preach a message of holiness. And the message was basically, you could actually live without sinning. You know, it'd probably be good to revive some of that teaching once again. But up until that time, everybody believed, yeah, you were saved, but you just couldn't help but sin. Well, the Wesley brothers, they began, and particularly John Wesley, began to preach. You not only were saved, but there was also a message of sanctification that began to be preached, that you could live a holy life. How many of you believe you can live a holy life? I'm going to ask this question again. How many of you believe you can live a holy life? How many of you believe you can go 5 seconds without sinning? Do you believe the grace of God could actually be extended for 10 seconds? Do you believe that that grace could actually be extended for an entire minute and you could go for 60 seconds without sinning? Do you believe the grace of God is great enough that it could be extended for an entire hour and you could go for a whole hour without sinning? Do you believe that? Well, how about this? Do you believe God's grace is actually great enough to where it could be extended to 24 segments of those hours for one full day and you could go an entire day without sinning? Yes. I'm losing hands. You can live without sinning. You don't have to sin. You know the reason Christians sin? It's because they want to. Listen, there's no such thing as Flip Wilson Christianity. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do anything that you don't want to do of your own will. Did y'all hear? I said the devil cannot make you do anything that you, as a born-again, spirit-filled believer, don't want to do. People sin because they want to sin. Now, thank God there's forgiveness. Thank God, yes, you know, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But hear this, that message began to be preached, it began to be taught, and it infiltrated the body of Christ. Hallelujah. In around 1900, the message that you could be baptized in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues, the Pentecostal movement came on the scene. And that message began to be highlighted, emphasized, and began to come forth within the body of Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm not going to go through every move of God because there's been numerous ones even since 1900. I'm saying this. There are seasons of times that God emphasizes a word. There are seasons that he says, I'm going to emphasize this. I'm going to bring it to the forefront because I want your faith to arise so that you can receive the fullness of it. Amen? How many of you know if we don't proclaim it, we don't prophesy it, and we don't declare it, we're not going to experience it within our lives? Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as we preach, as we proclaim it, as we prophesy it, faith arises so that we can apprehend it, grab hold of it, and begin to take possession of that which God has said is rightfully ours. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to allow one promise that God said rightfully belongs to me to pass by my way. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let it go over my head. I'm going to grab hold of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, one of the things that we began to share last week is that the 2017 is a year of turning. Everybody say turning. And so let's read this Psalm 126, verse 1. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity, turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. We shared this last week, how that 2017, I believe the Lord is saying, that it is the year that you will dream once again. In 2017, God will restore your dream. In 2017, God will restore your dream. Look at somebody and say, God's restoring your dream. Look at somebody and say, you're going to dream once again. Now, not only are you going to dream once again, but you're going to see the dream fulfilled. Understand, God does not give you a dream to frustrate you. He gives you a dream because he wants to fulfill it within your life. He doesn't say, I'm going to dangle something out here in front of you like a carrot in front of a bunny in order that, or a dog biscuit in front of a dog so that you will jump for it but never give it to you. My friend, hear this. God gives you a dream because he wants to fulfill it within your life. Look at somebody and say, God will fulfill your dream. He said, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity. Turn again. It's a year of turning, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears will reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now again, we begin to share how that 2017, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is saying that it is a year of turning. Whatever situations need to be turned around within your life, this is a year of turning. God's turning family situations. Can somebody say amen? Some of you, your children, hear this. 2017 is the year of turning for your kids. Hallelujah. 2017 is a year of turning of your relationships, year of turning for your job situation, year of turning for your finances. Listen. I want everybody to understand this. We get excited about miracles. How many of you believe that God wants to do signs, wonders, and miracles? And you know why he wants to do it? It's because he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, your healer. See, signs, wonders, and miracles are a manifestation of the character and nature of God that is actually captivated within the name Jehovah Rapha. Look at somebody say he's Jehovah Rapha. And how many of you love it whenever people get saved? Do you love that when people get saved? Last week, six people got saved here at High Praise. Oh, hallelujah. What's manifesting then? It's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Is actually in manifestation. God is saying, I am now going, you, although your sins were scarlet, now you're going to be white as snow. Hallelujah. I will cause you now to be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, you're not a sinner saved by grace. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look at somebody and say, you're not a sinner. Look at somebody and say, you're the righteousness of God. You know, as long as you keep saying that you're a sinner, you'll keep sinning. I'll say that again. As long as you keep saying that you're a sinner, you'll keep sinning. Take it out of your vocabulary. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. I am now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got to get a new mindset, new understanding. Well, that's a manifestation of Jehovah Tsidkenu. Whenever people get delivered of oppressive spirits, what is that? That is a manifestation of Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, where he takes all of the oppression of the enemy and depression, and he actually brings peace within our lives. Now, I said all that to say this. You must begin to rejoice just as much in as him being Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider, and also El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, because just like he wants to manifest as your healer, he wants to manifest as your provider, he wants to manifest as the one that will give you more than enough. Hallelujah. Look at somebody say, he wants you to have more than enough. He doesn't want you to live on barely get along street down by Grumble Alley. He wants you to live on, hallelujah, I'm living on more than enough Boulevard. I'm going to say it again. I just like the way that flows. I'm living on more than enough Boulevard. And hear this, just like God wants to heal, he also wants to bring more than enough within your life. So why should we frustrate the grace of God and say, God, we'll receive this, but we're not so excited about that. Let's get it all. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, we need to grab hold of it all. If Jesus paid for it, then we need to take hold of it. Oh, hallelujah. I hate poverty spirits. I tell you, I'm just flowing right now. I feel so, stirring in my heart and my spirit. I believe it's time to kick the poverty spirit right in the teeth. And then whenever you knock him around, kick him right in the butt and kick him right out the door. It's time for us to wage war on the poverty spirit, because hear this, God did not destine you as his child to live in poverty, to live in lack, to live in a place where you're barely getting along, just scraping by. He wants to make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Bring supernatural provision within your life. Amen. And you know what? We don't have to apologize for that. There's so many pastors and preachers that feel like they can't talk about that. People will think, I'm just talking about money. Well, isn't it very interesting that Paul talked about it? Isn't it very interesting that Jesus talked about it? He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give unto your bosom. If Jesus preached it, we ought to preach it. If Paul preached it, we ought to preach it. If Peter preached it, we ought to preach it. If John preached it, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's in the Bible. Amen. So we don't need to frustrate the grace of God and only receive a portion of what God has for us. I'm going to take hold of everything. Look at somebody say, everything. So 2017, I believe, is the year the dream is restored. God's reviving godly dreams. Amen? Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the very desires of your heart. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. See, God wants you to have his life. And I said this last week. I believe that the Lord wants us to live awestruck. Awestruck. Every day you wake up, I'm awestruck. I don't even know what to say. I'm so blessed, I don't know what to say. You know what? I get up every morning and I open up my blinds. And many of you, some of you have been over to our house and all across the entire back of our house. You know, and the Lord blessed us with a lot right on the water. And y'all have heard the testimony. I'm not going to go into it again. But I'm telling you what, it's such a beautiful view. I have to pinch myself every time I drive up in my driveway. I just go, I cannot believe it. I'm actually living right where I'm living right now. And I get up in the morning, I open the blinds, and I see the beautiful water view that the Lord has given us. And by the way, aren't you just grateful God blessed us to be able to even live in such a beautiful place as Bay County in Panama City? I mean, I thank God for our city. People always want to move out, move. I don't like this city. Listen, there's a lot worse places that you could live. And I'm thankful for this city. I'm thankful for what God, listen, God desires to do some great things here in Bay County. Amen. Can I tell you, there's some great men of God that have actually were born and raised right here in Panama City. I don't know if anybody ever heard of Lester Summerall. Anybody ever heard of Lester? Lester Summerall was born and raised right here in Panama City. Let me tell you some other great men of God. Hallelujah. Robert Gay. I'm just kidding. I was born and raised right here. Steve Webb was born and raised right here. Hallelujah. See, God has some great men and women of God that he's going to raise up right here in Bay County. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Joshua Gay was born and raised here in Panama City. Amen. But I get up in the morning and I open up the blinds and there's this beautiful view. I'm awestruck. Lord, I'm awestruck at your blessing. Lord, I'm amazed at your blessing. I am totally flabbergasted. Listen, some of you may have not entered into that place, but I declare to you that this year God is going to cause you to be awestruck. I think I said it last week, there's going to be a big bat called awe. God's just going to knock you in the head. I mean this in a good way. Oh, I am awed at what you have done. And by the way, if you'll start being thankful for what you have right now, you'll see the awe of God begin to be manifested within your life. Amen. The next thing was God's turning our sorrow into joy, turning our mourning into dancing. Look at somebody and say, no more sad face. Look at somebody and say, no more sad song. Look at somebody and say, it's joyful songs. And just look at somebody right now and give them a big smile. Praise God. Amen. You know, smiling's contagious. And by the way, it's probably something that we need to spread around. Joy is contagious. And if you'll be joyful, others around you will get joyful. You know what? If you'll start being happy, other people will be happy also. I believe the Lord is saying that this is the year that he'll make you laugh. Yes. The very beginning of the psalm, we shared it last week. The very beginning of this psalm, if you look at the top of your Bible, it says this, restore our fortunes, O Lord. Restore our fortunes. Listen, when God turns things, he restores your fortunes. He restores your fortunes. Last night, Stacy and I, we had one of those rare occasions where we were actually able to sit down and we decided we'd watch a movie. And we watched a movie called Woman in Gold. I believe that's the title. I don't know if anybody else saw them. Did you see the movie? It's actually a really, really good movie. And it's all about a story about an Austrian lady who actually, whenever the Nazis came into Austria and took over the country, they took possession of all of, besides rounding up the Jewish populace and shipping them off to concentration camps and death camps and all the other things, that all the evils that were perpetrated by the Nazi regime. They actually took their property, took their paintings. And anyway, to make a long story short, the whole thing is about her fight to actually get artwork that was worth $130 million back into her possession. And I believe, it's just something I didn't think about it until I got up here. I really believe that there are some of you that there's fortunes that have been lost, even generationally. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I'm going to restore your fortune. And the Lord says, that which has been stolen from you and that which has been taken from your family, the Lord says, I'm going to restore to you. The Lord says, I'm going to do it in an abundant way and in an abundant measure. For the Lord says, my promise is sure. And the Lord says, you will see my hand move. And the Lord says, there's going to be things that will even come to the surface. And God says, I'm going to cause it to be manifested. And you will know, the Lord says, my hand of power that will even begin to move within your life. For the Lord says, this is a day when I will restore what the canker worm, the palmer worm, and the caterpillar has eaten. For the Lord says, these are days of restoration, says the Spirit of the Lord. And God says, whenever I restore, I do it better than what it was before. And the Lord says, you will see it. You will see it even take place, says the Spirit of the Lord. Would you give the Lord a shout right now? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God will restore to you. The other thing we talked about was the sound of victory. Whenever God turns things, he says he causes our mourning to be turned to singing. And we talked about it. Actually, that literally means a shout of triumph. And so there's a shout that's coming back into your life. I know that many of you probably watch football, particularly you men, and I'm sure whatever your favorite team is, as a matter of fact, if you are rooting for any of the Florida teams at all, whether it's Miami, whether it's Florida State or Florida, if you watch the bowl games, there was probably a lot of shouting. And I can remember watching the Florida State-Michigan game, and I'm sorry for you Michigan fans. They're not very many, but praise the Lord. You know, but the reality was, you know, Michigan, of course, Florida State had the game in hand. They were up by 12 points. And then with 6 minutes left to go, in about 3 minutes, they scored 15 points, Michigan did. So Florida State is down by three. Anybody watch the game? Anybody watch the Florida State game? It was really amazing. And, they, of course, Michigan kicks the ball off. Whenever the guy finally, you know, it's like he paused for a moment to run the, because he caught the ball in the end zone. He paused for just a moment before he ran the ball out. And then I'm thinking as soon as he runs it out, oh, my Lord, we're going to be back at the 5-yard line. And he ends up, I mean, running straight up the middle and gets all the way to the 35-yard line of the Michigan 35. And then in just a matter of time, Florida State, they drive it down, and it's third and long, and they throw a pass in the end zone. And I remember, did anybody see that play? Okay. I didn't expect you to. You watched a lower bowl game. I actually did watch that game. It was a good game too. But anyway, to make a long story short, there's like 30 seconds left in the ball game, and they've marched the ball third and long. You know, it's kind of like either they're going to have to kick a field goal on fourth, or something's going to happen. And they throw the ball, and I'm just sitting there watching the game, already kind of disgusted that they let the game kind of get away from them that they had in hand. And I can remember, I'm going somewhere with this. This is not just about Florida State football. Anyway, I remember whenever Murray caught the ball, I came out of my seat. Stacy was already in bed, and I know that she had to hear me. And Pastor Joshua was there too, and we both came out, "Woo!" And we started walking around the sofa. Yeah! You know, it's like, we just did this. I'm sitting on my sofa. But there was listen, you're going to get the revelation of this in just a moment. I didn't do anything. But something was done. And whenever they did it, they secured the victory. Forget about the extra point, but they won the game. And I got up and I started shouting. Can I tell you what? Jesus has already won the game for you. And the enemy thought he had him down. But on a third and long play, the Father God had a ball that scored a touchdown, and he reached down and he resurrected the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world, and he became King of kings and Lord of lords, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. He has sent the power of the Holy Ghost. I've got victory. Listen, whenever you know you've got victory, you just don't go. Florida fans haven't been too used to victory. But whenever they beat Iowa, I can guarantee you they're, yeah! MG, he didn't get on the field, but I'm sure he was strutting around his living room wearing his orange and blue. What am I saying? I'm saying God's restoring your shout. I said he's restoring your shout. He's restoring your shout. Listen, And if we can shout about a football game, we certainly ought to be able to shout about what Jesus has done for us, how that he has gained us victory in him. And we don't have to live a life of defeat. We don't have to live a life of discouragement. We don't have to live a life of sickness. We don't have to live a life of oppression. We are set free by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. The other thing we said is that's the year of twisting. Everybody say twisting. God twists things. As a matter of fact, where it actually says that God has done great things, the word great actually means to twist. So God twists things. And I shared this last week how that, you know, many times you've ever watched a movie and there's a twist at the end, like the ending is totally different. What you were expecting to happen doesn't happen. Why? Because God, there's a twist within the plot. There's a twist within the movie, and something happens other than what was expected. And I'll tell you that many of you, maybe the way that your life has been going, it looks like the expected end is not very good. But I have good news for you. There's a twist that God has. Hallelujah. I said there's a twist that God has, and he's going to twist things in your favor. May look like things aren't in your favor, but I'm telling you, God's twisting things in order to bring it into your favor in the name of Jesus. We've already seen some things happen that have really blown in 2016. Some things looked like they were going one way, but there was a twist. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, this is the year of the twisting. Hallelujah. Where things are ruled in your favor, even though it looked like it was not going to be in your favor. Amen. Now, I believe also that 2017, I want you to write this down, it is a year of gathering. It is the year of gathering. And I'll even add to that the gathering of harvest. It is a year of gathering, but I want to focus more on the gathering rather than just the harvest. Because a lot of times whenever you say it's a year of harvest, people think that harvest is just going to come on them. But I want everybody to understand, for every harvest, there must be a gathering. There is no such thing as a harvest falling on you. There is such a thing as you going out and gathering the harvest. Let me say it like this. There is work that is involved in actually taking possession of the harvest. Now, I know a lot of people don't like the word work. You know, again, in our, some of the teaching on grace has went so far to where it's almost eliminated work being needed. In other words, work's almost a bad word. Work, particularly works. But I want everybody to understand this. Harvest is not taken unless you're willing to work. If you're not willing to work, then the harvest will not be received. It will not be apprehended. And we're going to see this right here. Now, I believe that in this year, God is showing us and revealing to us how to gather the harvest. Look at somebody say, we got to gather the harvest. Understand this, sowing seed will automatically create a harvest, but only work will cause it to be gathered. A farmer plants seed, then the seed produces a crop. And then the harvest is gathered through workers going into the fields. So although there's a harvest that grows as a result of the seed, there is still the need for workers to begin to go and gather the harvest. I'm going to say this in many different ways because I really want you to grab hold of this, because us shouting about harvest by itself is not going to cause it to be gathered within our lives. Now, I believe the Lord is saying this, that this is a year of multiplied harvest and the gathering of the harvest with a renewed disposition. If you'll look back at that scripture, it says that you sowed in tears, but you're going to reap in joy. You sowed in tears, but you will reap in joy. Understand this, harvest cannot be reaped in sadness. So one of the first things that has to happen within our lives for us to be able to reap the harvest is we've got to change our disposition. If you've been sad, then put on your happy face. Glory to God. If you've been depressed, then get delivered of your depression, because God has a harvest for you, but you've got to change your disposition if you're going to reap the harvest. Glory to God. Amen? If you want the harvest, then allow a turning in your disposition. Psalm 30, verse 11 says this, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." Listen, if you have been mourning rather than dancing, then I encourage you to put on your dancing shoes. Hallelujah. You should be dancing. Yeah. You need to put on your dancing clothes. You need to begin to rejoice. Take off the sackcloth. Take off the mourning. Take off the depression. Take off the oppression. Listen, I'm not saying this all the time, but I will say this many of the time, people are depressed and they're in sorrow solely because they are wrapped up in themselves and they are having a pity party. They're wrapped up in their world. And hear this, you need to get delivered from your world and get in the kingdom of God, hallelujah. And begin to allow the joy of the Lord to well up on the inside of you and begin to rejoice regardless of the circumstances. I'm always impressed. There are people within this church that I know that daily they are faced with certain things and there's circumstances that they are encountering, and I'm believing that those circumstances will change. But even while they may still be looking at it, they still rejoice. They still put on their happy face. They still put on a good disposition. And can I tell you, if they can do it, you can do it too. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, you can get happy. I remember whenever I was young and I'd get in trouble, it wasn't very often because I believe that my daddy said what he meant and he meant what he said. And if he said, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you, I knew this, he would not forget. My dad had a steel trap for a memory. Nothing would ever escape him. You'd think on the way home after you'd done something wrong, daddy, maybe he'll forget. Father, Lord, please let him forget. He never forgot. He never forgot. Never forgot anything. And, I was going somewhere with this. But, that's a trip down memory lane for a moment. I was going somewhere with this story, but praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, I remember. And he would get on to me and scold me. And sometimes, not very often, but a couple of times I had to go to his drawer. And in his drawer he had belts. And he'd tell me, and this only happened a couple of times. But he said, son, go to my drawer and go get a belt. I mean, that's humiliating. We'd probably call it child abuse today. You know what? I went, you know what? Hey, and I'm still here, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. And so... I would go to the drawer, I'd get the belt, I'd bring it. I'm not telling you to do this if you're a parent, but I'm just telling you what happened in my life. And I went to the drawer, I got a belt, and I remember that, he may discipline me, and then, you that have kids, you know what I'm talking about. The lip goes out, right? Come on. Pout. And then he'd say, son, he said, I'm going to give you a reason to be sad. He said, he'd always say, you better change that look on your face or I'm going to give you a reason to have it. And it's amazing how quick you could change the look on your face. Am I talking to anybody here today? Don't tell me you can't change a look on your face. I know you can do it. I said, you can do it. Look at somebody and say, you can do it. You can change your disposition if you so want to. You can change your approach to things. You can change your perspective if you want to. You just got to make a choice. I'm changing my perspective. Why? Because I want to reap the harvest. I cannot reap the harvest in the midst of depression and oppression. I'm going to put on joy. Hallelujah. I'm going to put on gladness. I'm going to take off the sackcloth. I'm going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, because I know there's a harvest that needs to be reaped. Amen. God's causing the sackcloth to be taken off. Why? Because he wants you to reap the harvest. That is his plan for you. That is his desire for you. And by the way, I'm not just talking about money. I don't want everybody to understand that you know, that this is not just about money. It's about anywhere where you have sown a seed, there is a harvest that God has for you. For you that have been sowing seed in the area of healing, there's a harvest for you. For you that have been sowing seed in the area of family and children, there's a harvest that God has for you. Look at somebody, say, God has a harvest for you. You see, you got to understand this. Tomorrow morning, whenever you wake up and you go to work, you're not going to put on burlap. You know why you're not going to put on burlap? It's because you can't work in burlap. You'll be scratching yourself all day. You'll be irritated with what you're wearing all day long. Burlap will cause you to have a frown on your face. Burlap would cause tears to begin to run down your eyes. Hear this. Whenever you go to work, you put on work clothes. You put on something that's going to be cool. You put on something that's going to be comfortable. And you put on something that's going to enable you to do the job that you were hired to do. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying right now? Hear this. There's a harvest that God has for you. And there's an appropriate clothing that He has for you. Hear this. It is the garment of praise that He wants you to wear in going in and reaping the harvest. It is, hear this, it's garments of gladness and joy. That's how you go and reap the harvest. Now, what does harvest mean? And what does gathering mean? Number one, it means production. Everybody say production. Your seed produces. And I believe the Lord is saying this. This is a word from the Lord this morning. Hear this. God has not forgotten your seed, and it will produce within your life. Look at somebody, say, God hasn't forgotten you. Look at somebody, say, God has not forgotten your seed. Look at somebody and say, it will produce within your life. The Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. Look at somebody and say, you will reap if you faint not. Amen. I believe that this is the due season. We are in the due season. And now is the time for reaping of the harvest. It is a time to gather the harvest. I think it's very interesting within this scripture what it says. You will reap. See, it doesn't say the harvest falls on you. It says you will reap. For in due season you will do what? Reap. See, reaping is always an act on your part. Reaping is not something that happens to you automatically. Reaping is something that you will do by your faith, you will do by your actions. And by the way, which really brings me to the next point, which it says, in due season you will reap if you faint not. Let me translate if you faint not. What that means is this: if you don't stop working. Look at somebody and say, you got to keep working. What does that mean? That means this: I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep confessing. I'm going to keep declaring. I'm going to keep putting my hand to the plow in the kingdom of God. I'm going to do whatever I can do to further the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to allow one thing to keep me from doing what God has called me to do. You see, you've got to be firmly convinced that what you're doing, what God's called you to do, is what He has placed within your heart. And you cannot allow external things to discourage you and keep you from doing that. Listen, everybody has opportunity to quit. Everybody has opportunity to throw in the towel. You know, I've wanted to throw in the towel before. Pastor Stacy has wanted to throw in the towel before. I don't know of anybody here that hasn't wanted to throw in the towel before. Is there any honest people here this morning that will say, I've wanted to throw in the towel before and just quit? Come on. Just raise your hand. Say, I've wanted to throw in the towel and quit. I've wanted to just give up. You see, if you give up, you don't reap the harvest. And there's a lot of people that aren't seeing the harvest manifested within their life because they give up. Whenever they're faced with some adverse situation, they give up. When things aren't going right, they give up. Oh, they're faithful to church when things are going good, as long as they're not too good. And then, you know, they're faithful to go to church and faithful to be a part of something as long as nobody says anything or doesn't look at them crossways or never brings any correction into their lives. But as soon as that happens and all of a sudden they're ready to throw in the towel and give up and quit, let me tell you something, folks. We need to get a little more depth within our lives to where we know that that we are part of the kingdom of God and God has something for us to do, and we're not going to let the devil and we're not going to let anybody else discourage us from doing what God has called us to do. Amen? Because listen, discouragement is all around. I mean, there's probably not a day, you know, turn on the TV and you can get discouraged about things. By the way, I just want to come in, take a moment for just a moment. And there's a lady, she's a gospel singer by the name of Kim Burrell. I don't know if, and I don't even know her that well, but I saw, you know, what she did. She stood up, she took a stand for the Word of God and what God's Word actually has to say about marriage, and also what God's Word has to say about sexuality. Thank God for somebody, a woman, a Deborah in the kingdom of God that would stand up and say, hey, this is isn't right. You know what? She's suffered a lot of persecution, and I want to encourage all of us. Let's pray for her. Let's believe God that God will lift her up above all of the intolerance, all of the intolerance of the anti-Christian, anti-Christ spirit that is in the world today. By the way, if Hollywood hates it, it's probably of God. Hollywood has lost their minds. Bunch of crazy people out there. They need deliverance. I don't want to just curse them. There needs to be a great revival because they have power and they have a platform. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they actually got their lives turned around and got their thinking changed, glory to God, and they begin to influence things properly? You know, thank God for this woman that would stand up and in the midst of all of the naysayers. And by the way, I want everybody to understand, God's Word has this is not the message this morning, but God's Word has a lot to say about sexuality. And it has a lot to say about, you know, Jesus even said for this cause, a man would leave his mother and father and he would cleave to his what? His wife. How many know a wife is a woman? Wife is not another man. Wife is a woman. Y'all understand what I mean by woman? Does that make sense? Man, woman. Man was made for woman. Woman wasn't made for woman, and man wasn't made for man. It doesn't fit. Amen? I'm not condemning anybody, and but understand, we must make it, because there's such a brainwashing right now in the culture to make everybody think that this is okay, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it's not sinful, and it's not wrong. But hear this, you're not homophobic because you say that that's sinful. You are Bible-believing. Because you say, I believe the Bible above the culture and what man would try to force down my throat. I don't care who says it. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. Still doesn't make it right. Amen? There's a lot of other people in Washington. One day they're going to have to stand before God for what they've done and how they've led this nation down the wrong road. Praise God. I could say more, but I'll move on. God bless America. Amen. Listen, we need a revival here in America. Listen, I don't want to say this. 2017 is a year of turning for America. It's a year of turning for America. Listen, I don't care if you like the results of the election or not. I'm telling you what God is saying is that 2017 is a year of turning. And God's going to do it, and he'll use whoever he has to have to bring a turning in this nation. And there will be a turning of the hearts. And I'll tell you what, there's some people that are going to get really upset. And you're going to see it on the left coast. You're going to see it in Hollywood. And you're going to see it in some of the music industry. But hear this, God is still God. And God's going to reveal his power in this nation once again. And there will be great, mighty revival that will come forth. Amen. See, hallelujah. God has to have some people that will stand up in order to invoke that in the earth. Harvest means work. Everybody say work. John 4:35. We're closing with this. Y'all hang with me. John 4:35. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages. I think it's very interesting. Jesus says, he who reaps. Look at somebody and say, you got to go reap. He who reaps. In other words, there's an opportunity for you to go reap. But those who don't reap will not receive wages. And whenever you actually look at the word wages, reaping receives wages. And the word wages means pay. Let me say it like this. There will be financial blessing. There will be financial provision. There will be financial increase to those who will make a decision. I'm going to go out and I'm going to reap in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, listen, everybody, the application of what I'm preaching today is going to be different for everybody, because the way that you may reap the harvest will be a little bit different than the way that I reap the harvest, and a little bit different than the way that somebody else reaps the harvest, but the kingdom principles are still the same. You have to go to work, amen? You got to work. Look at somebody and say, you got to work. Both naturally and spiritually, you got to work. He who reaps receives wages and gathers, here's that word, gathers, it's the year of gathering, and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So what he says here is this: reaping receives wages, there's pay. Gathering produces life. The zoe, that's the Greek word that's used there, which is literally the life of God in manifestation. So whenever things begin to gather, God calls his gathering to come forth, there is life that is manifested within your personage, amen? And then he says rejoicing. Notice, he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Rejoicing is required in our sowing and in our reaping. I want to say that again. Rejoicing is required in our sowing and reaping. I want to say this. Lazy people will not reap the harvest. Only those who are willing to do what is necessary. And I believe that God will give us all insight for proper application of these principles for each and every one of our lives. The last thing is this. Whenever you look at the very end of Psalm 126, if we can bring that last scripture up, Psalm 126, verse 6. I want to read this. Psalm 126, verse 6. And we're going to see one phrase that I'm just going to focus in for just a moment. Praise the Lord. 126, verse 6. And he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Bringing his sheaves with him. The word sheaves there literally means tied together. Everybody say tied together. So he's saying, doubtless they're going to come again. As they've went out and then as they've sown seeds, they're going to come back rejoicing as they are reaping the harvest, bringing things tied together with him. Now this is the belief, this is what I believe the Lord is speaking in this particular verse of scripture for us. It is the prophetic application of this scripture, and that is this: God will put together what has fallen apart in 2017. What has been lying on the ground, disorganized, and seemingly not coming together, I believe the Lord is going to cause us to be able to pick it up and be able to put it together. Let me say it like this. God's putting your family back together. Hallelujah. God's putting your finances back together. God's putting your health back together. God's putting every area and every arena of your life. God's putting your children back together. Hallelujah. God's putting your career back together. He's tying up that which has been loose and has been scattered, and he's bringing things together. Hallelujah. There's restored relationships, restored families, restored finances. The harvest, by the way, is not merely finances, nor is it just souls being saved and brought into the kingdom of God, as wonderful as both of those things are. It is the returning of everything that is rightfully yours. Hallelujah. For many of you, you've sown seeds in your marriage. Hear this. You've sown and you've received seed, but now you're going to gather the harvest. Hallelujah. In your family, it's the same way. There's going to be a gathering together and a tying together. Things are going to be put back together. Why? Because this is the year of turning and it's the year of gathering. Hallelujah. Prodigals are coming home in the name of Jesus. Their hearts are being turned once again. God is causing things to be put together or back together in this season. In 1987, we went on staff at Christian International. Now, you got to understand, I'd come out of a Word of Faith church, and by the way, I thank God for all the things I learned and things that I received, and I learned the principle of sowing and reaping. I learned how important it was to actually sow seed. I learned that if I would sow a seed, that God would bring a harvest within my life. And I learned that Jesus not only came to deliver me from sin, but he also came to deliver me from poverty and lack. Oh, hallelujah. See, it's all part of the same package. I want everybody to hear this. It's a part of the same package. Just like you don't have to sin every day, you don't have to live in poverty and lack every day either. Amen? And so, I learned these things. And in 1981, Stacy and I got married, and I'm telling you, we didn't see any harvest coming forth within our lives whatsoever. There was no reaping that was going on. 1982, it didn't really get any better. It seemed like it got worse. Always living on barely get along street. Always having just enough to get by. And we weren't living above our means. We were living in a little two-bedroom duplex. Now, we were happy in our two-bedroom duplex, but I'm just telling you, I mean, I think whenever we first got married, our rent was $180 a month. And that in our little two-bedroom duplex. And we were there for a little while, and then we had a little house. It was a two-bedroom house. I think we paid about $250 for it. We had a car payment, very small car payment. Just the normal things. But every week, every month, it was always just barely enough to get by. We'd give our tithe, give our offering, find places to sow seed, but we always had just enough to get by. 1983, it remained the same. As a matter of fact, in 1983, it even got rougher. And then in 1984, it was still bad. 1985, we're still just barely getting along. And that's the year that Joshua was born. You know, and my mother and my father actually began to give us money on a regular basis just because they loved us. Hallelujah. I thank God for my mom and dad. And like many of you ought to be thankful for your moms and dads because they were there whenever you needed them. Hallelujah. And they knew that I had a call of God, and I was just doing everything I knew to obey God. And they were giving us some money, you know, just regularly and you know, weekly, just because they loved us and cared about us. And they didn't want Joshua to starve. It didn't really start happening until we had him. And they were giving us money. We at least had money for diapers. And then, you know, 1986, it didn't get any better. We were still just, I mean, scraping by, barely getting along. 1987, same way. And it even got worse in 1987 because the Lord spoke to us that it was time for us to leave the place where we were at. We went through a season of transition. We were living with my mom and dad. But at the same time, we're sowing. Lord, where's the harvest? I've been preaching and I've been teaching this. I've been declaring it. Lord, this is your word. I know that your word says it. Why isn't it happening? I didn't understand, regardless, I'm going to keep on doing what I know to do. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing, for I know in due season I will reap if I won't give up and if I won't stop and if I won't quit and if I won't stop working. Hallelujah. Amen. Kept on going. 1987 was kind of bad. 1988, at the end of 87, we went on staff at CI, and I was making less money than what I was making at the previous church that I was at. I was making $1,000 a month. And it, you know, anyway, I won't go into all the details, but we were still scraping by. Stacy got an outside job and working at the bank, and so both of us were working. We had Joshua. He was just 2 years old, and the Lord provided two young ladies who would come in to the little townhouse that we were living in, two-bedroom townhouse, and would watch Joshua. You know, listen, everybody knows that people that go into ministry solely for money. Right. People that say that, I just want to reach out. I'd like to take you down memory lane, and I'd like to show you. And I'd like for you to go back and live and walk in my shoes for about 8 years of the beginning portions of our ministry. I'm going somewhere with this. Here we are, and nothing's happening. Nothing seems to be going right. 1988, it kind of goes the same way. And somewhere around the 1988, something broke open. I don't know how to explain it, because I wasn't doing anything any different in 1988 and was making a lower salary than what I was making previously, but something busted in the realm of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, things began to break open. There was monies that began to come in from outside sources. And I want you to hear this. By the time 1989 rolled around, I was making three times more than I had ever made in my life. Listen, it's because there was a season that God thrust me into. I wasn't doing anything any different than what I was doing in 1981, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, and 88. But glory to God, harvest time came. I went in and we began to reap those fields of harvest, and God brought it into our lives. Now, I said all that to say this. Some of you feel like I've been doing this and doing this, but I'm telling you, things are breaking in the realm of the Spirit. There is breakthrough that God is bringing into your life. There is turning and there is gathering of harvest that God is bringing forth. Don't you stop. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for you will reap. There is turning that is happening within your life. Would you stand to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise right now? Hallelujah.
We trust you received from this powerful message. If you are being blessed by the ministry of High Praise and would like to sow a financial seed, you can do so at our website, highpraisepc.com. At our website, you will also find more information about our services and resources that we have available that will be a blessing to your life. Also, connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. God bless you, and thank you for downloading this podcast from High Praise.